This morning's readings begin with a reading from Isaiah, and Isaiah begins by using the metaphor of a desert as a place, a starting place for understanding what it is to receive the Messiah. Now, the desert was a dead place. It was a place where no one went because it was impossible to live there. And yet, Isaiah sort of describes this desert in a whole different way. And he describes it this way because he recognizes what changes will occur when the Messiah comes. In today's gospel, Jesus speaks about John the Baptist, who was a person who came from the desert. He came from a dead place. And interestingly enough, John the Baptist inspired people to go out into that dead place in order to encounter him and in order to be baptized, to be freed of their sins. We still live in a dead place because this world is broken and it still has sin. We still participate in some ways and contribute to that sin. But the reality is that Jesus Christ has entered into this deserted place and he's provided for life. And yet, we still experience that contrast of our redemption and our brokenness. That's something that I think this season of Advent is a particular place for us to focus. I noticed in my prayer during this season, my prayer has really kind of been oriented towards trying to recognize the real presence of God in the world. That begins with asking myself, where is the presence of God in me? And where can I find the presence of God in other people? That can be challenging because of our brokenness. Now, in Jesus' time, he speaks about prophets because in his time, prophets were sort of all over the place. And there were a lot of prophets who proclaimed to be the Messiah, to be the one who was promised to come and to free the Jewish people from their slavery. That created a certain kind of expectation for the Jewish community. And so there were a variety of people and how they approached their claim to be the Messiah. And that sort of informed the Jewish people to sort of develop a certain kind of expectation about what to look for. So when Jesus is quizzing his disciples about why they would pursue trying to find this John the Baptist, he uses some interesting questions. He says to them, "What were you expecting when you went out into that deserted place? Were you expecting to see a reed swaying in the wind?" To that, Jesus is referring to a false prophet. Because a false prophet is exactly that. Someone who sways in the wind. Someone who will speak one thing to one person and another to a different person just in order to ingratiate themselves to them. That's not what a prophet does. Jesus also asked, "Were you expecting someone in fine clothing to be dressed like royalty?" Because in that time, a lot of people had the expectation that this Messiah would come in such a way to rule politically over the people and to free them from the political oppression that existed in that time. And there were people in that time who claimed to be the Messiah because they wanted to infiltrate and bolster themselves from a political perspective. Interestingly enough, John the Baptist didn't really fit either of those. John the Baptist was a person who stepped out of the desert and called people to look at themselves, to look at them, their sinfulness, and tell them, turn away from your sinfulness. Reorient yourself towards God. And a lot of people thought John the Baptist was wacky because he didn't fit the profile of what they were anticipating as a Messiah. Interestingly enough, Jesus didn't fit the profile of what they were expecting from a Messiah. So much so that John sent his disciples out to ask Jesus if he was indeed the one. Now, it's interesting the contrast in the Gospels, because in the moment that John baptized Jesus, John recognized Jesus as the Messiah. But perhaps his disciples weren't as convinced. And so they come to Jesus and ask if he is the one. All of this is sort of filled with this idea of prophesying and being a prophet. Now, in the Hebrew, there's a word called dabar. And dabar stands for the prophetic word. That's how it's translated. The prophetic word is not the kind of word where you can predict the future. It's not the kind of word where you can tell someone about themselves. The prophetic word is the power of the Word of God. It is the absolute truth. So as the prophetic word is spoken, what is spoken is done. So for example, in the creation story, when God says, "Let there be light," and there is light, that is an example of dabar, the prophetic word. Now, each one of us is called to that prophetic word. Each one of us is called to speak the truth. There's a challenge associated with that because we live in a deserted place. So essentially, only two things can happen when the prophetic word is spoken. Either the word is spoken and it is done, or because we live in a deserted place, there are those who will try to eradicate the prophetic word. So being a true prophet in Jesus' time and in our own time is a dangerous thing, because we live in a broken world and people sometimes want to reject the truth, because rejecting the truth gives them the opportunity to sway in the wind, to sort of relativize the truth. That's not what Jesus was talking about. That's not what Isaiah was predicting or promising for us. Jesus is the truth. And we have to be courageous enough to speak that truth in a broken world. That's why we come here today, because it is a challenge. Even in the gospel, John the Baptist is in prison. John the Baptist is just a short time away from having his head cut off for speaking the truth. In Paul's letter, he talks about having patience, but not just patience, a sense of patient endurance. Because Paul understands and wants to remind us that in spite of the fact that Jesus has come, he's conquered death, he's conquered sin, he's provided for redemption, we still live in a broken world. God freed us, but God did not take away our freedom. And so we have a choice that we can make. We can choose to embrace the truth of who God is, or we can reject it for our own purposes. So in this Advent season, I ask you, what are your expectations about the coming of Christ? Not just this second coming that we joyfully anticipate, but what about his first coming? What are your expectations about embracing the forgiveness and the love that God has to offer? What are your expectations about meeting the challenge of sharing that love and forgiveness, not just with yourself, but with other people? What are your expectations about experiencing God in yourself, in your families, in your workplace, and in your community? Each of us is called to be a prophet of the Most High, to go before him preparing a way so that others may be free to recognize and to choose that love who is Jesus Christ. And that's a challenge in this world. So today, as we come forward to receive Christ in this Eucharist, let it be our prayer that we may be inspired with patient endurance, that we may be inspired with courage to live and profess the truth of who God is in our lives and in this deserted place.